الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين، وبه نستعين. We seek refuge to the Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe, from the evil of the devil. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. InshaAllah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, we will continue Surah Al-Balad, which is number 90, as we have it on the board, inshaAllah ta'ala. We began a portion of it last week, and inshaAllah we will continue today. But before I continue, let me kind of make a quick comment about tonight's lecture, which is about our greatest master after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that is Amirul Mu'mineen, the Prince of the Believers. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. The title of the lecture in Farsi was Ali, peace be upon him, is alone. Now let's see why our master is alone. What is the cause of his loneliness? Just this point. And inshallah we will go and we read our surah, we exegete, we make tafsir of Surah Al-Balad, the one that we have it over there. To understand why Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayh is alone, we have to understand the verse in the Holy Quran that is said, Ayatul Taqdeer. What does Ayatul Taqdeer say? Ayatul Taqdeer says, this is in Arabic, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم رجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This small verse, it is extremely great, but I would like to discuss one small portion of it, so we will work on ourselves to be closer and to be closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, what am I trying to achieve here? The title of the lecture was Ali, peace be upon him, alone. Now, why Ali is alone? Why is he alone? He is alone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him under this ayah. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, and everybody knows that the will of Allah is above anything and everything and all the powers that comes into our mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed to push you guys away from rijs. What is rijs? Rijs is any impurity. Rijs is any sin. Rijs is any guilt. Rijs is any crime. Anyone of us, now I'm sure that you guys are the beloved of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi. That's why you are here, in order to celebrate his birth. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. But those who did not come, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, God willed to push sin away from you. What does that mean? Means that the more I purify myself, the closer I will be to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the dirtier myself is, the further I will be from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Therefore, Amir al-Mu'mineen is alone. Who is on his level? Who who can be as pure as Amir al-Mu'mineen to be close to him? So therefore, a lesson for us brothers and sisters, if we would like to be closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen, let us try our best to first understand what our self is. Number two, purify it. Take all the impurities. Take the jealousy. Take the anger. Take the animosity. Take the backbiting and ghibah. All of the impurities, including being miser, a liar, a cheater, a deceiver. Once you purify yourself from these, then you are a great candidate to get closer and closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi. Now, innama yuridu Allah liyudhiba ankum ar-rijs ahlal bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed to take you away. If I have a degree of impurity, to that degree I am further away from Amir. So God forbid, what about us? So let us seek and purify ourselves, wash our spirit with the water and the soap of repentance, al-istighfar. That's our first step. We have to repent. We have to make a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will not go back to our sinful actions. We will not backbite. We will not be jealous. And the second step is to gain the good deeds and get closer and closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let us go back to our verse. Last week we have started Surat Al-Balad, in which it is number 90. And this surah, we said, it is one of the greatest surahs. And I also mentioned that this surah not only is good spiritually for a person, but also it is physically effective. Let me mention this again. This Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent us, this Holy Quran is a walking, is a portable pharmacy, is a portable hospital. It will cure every aspect of our needs as a human being. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ and مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. A part, a small part, the word min in Arabic means a portion. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاء. Among the benefits of the Holy Quran is that it is the greatest cure. And one of the greatest cures of this verse is that it is, physically speaking. Now, I discussed the spiritual aspect of it last week, but I would like to bring this one back. It is also good for the cleaning of the nose. As, you know, it makes the sicknesses of the nose better. If somebody will put a drop of it, you know, like wash it, write it with saffron, for instance, wash it, and then put a drop of it in his nose. So, he will have a cure of his nose. This is one of the benefits that is written according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's hadith. Now, the hadith, let me go back because it seems like I only had a couple of people, three people that they were here last week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this surah with a swear. What is the significance of somebody swear? Someone, I'm one of us. When you swear about something because you think that the other person is not believing you, right? When you swear because you would like to show the importance of what you would like to say, you say, Wallah, I saw this. And you're looking at the other person, you see that he's puzzled. He doesn't want to believe you. So what you do, you support it by a swear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a swearing here. What is he saying? He said, I swear. See, if you look at the English, by this city, what is this city? And what is the significance of that city? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by Mecca. Now why Mecca? What is the significance of Mecca? The significance of Mecca, as we said last week, a place in itself is just another place. But the place will be honored by the one who steps on it. If a mu'min puts his feet on a piece of land, that place will be holy. That place will be greatly holy. Just think, Imam Hussein, Salamullah, Sayyid al-Shuhada, he put his feet in Karbala. Look at Karbala today. Imam al-Ridha, Salamullah, put his feet in Mashhad. Look at Mashhad today. I mean, just think about it. The sister of Imam al-Ridha, Salamullah, Fatima al-Masum, that great sister, she put her feet in Qum. What happened to Qom? Those who've been to Qom, tell me, what would you see? Such a great lady. Go to Egypt. Sayyidah Zainab, Sayyidah Nafisa. These are ladies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not distinguish between men and women. It is a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is saying? He said, I swear by this city. And what city? That you are in that city. وأنت حل بهذا البلد. حل, you know, when you say that I stay in a place, يحل المحل. From محل. But also it means that that place, you know, halal has two dimensions. The word حل, حل, يحل, means it has two dimensions. One dimension is when a person is being there, and the other dimension is from halal. Mecca is the place where they will not allow anyone to even chop a tree, to even kill a bug, let alone killing a human being. And they, astaghfirullah, wanted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the point is swearing. What is he swearing? La uqsimu bihadal. I swear, ya Rasulullah, by the city. I swear because you are in the city. I swear by walidin wa ma walad. I swear by Adam and all of his children. Now, one of the dimensions. Then, Ya Allah, why you are swearing? Oh, our beloved Allah, truly, why, Ya Allah, you are swearing? Just think. For us, the answer to this swear is this. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Please, you know, read. For those who know English, read English. For those who know Farsi, please read Farsi. I have created, verily. Now the word verily, everybody knows it's for a certainty, right? Surely, verily, for certain, for sure, I have created man in turmoil. I have created man in total hardship. I have created man in an atmosphere where it is all troubles, where it is all problems, where there is all tragedies. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ كَبَدْ. I have created, this is the nature of this world. This is why we are here. Does any one of us believe that? If we really believe that, Allah, number one, was not going to swear. And number two, just quickly look around you. One quick look, whether from Saddam, Gaddafi, or even us, we tend to forget about our problems. We do not want to see ourselves in a problem. And all what we're thinking is so-and-so caused me a grief. And then I sit down and curse that person, no matter who he is. Whether it's our beloved wives, our beloved husbands, our beloved children, sons and daughters, our beloved in-laws, brothers, sisters. No, it is not. It is the element. What kind of element? The element of a problem. In the equation of this dunya, There is tragedy. In the equation of this dunya, there is sickness. In the equation of this dunya, there is poverty. Problem. You just name it. So many problems comes in this dunya. That is why our great master, the one that we have discussed his names tonight, he said, "Ad-dunya darun bil-bala'i mahfufa." Now the word mahfufa in Arabic, what does mahfufa mean? Habba have. You know, he's saying that this world has been built with problems. Just think about it. It is not your beloved wife. It is not your beloved husband or son or daughter. It is the element. It just comes out. A lot of times I see that that wife, that son, that husband, that comes with the most beautiful intention. It will be taken wrongly. And then they get upset with each other. Not because he is bad or she is bad or he is bad, but because the element of trouble and tragedy and problem is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have created a human being in what? In turmoil, kabat, in hardship, zahmat, you know what zahmat in Farsi said, a lot of problems. What is this in your mind? Don't you ever be upset if your beloved husband, wife, children, whoever made you, friend at work, made you upset. Think about it with a cold heart. It is the element of this world. I cannot take it away. You think that I am going to divorce my wife because she had upset me and get her out of the house. I will go get married with another one. You think the problem will go away? Believe me, it'll come a new problem. A new problem will come. I will change my job from this one to another one. The new job, you know, it'll have its own problem. It will come with it. SubhanAllah. You know, in Arabic, unfortunately, those brothers who Arabic are not here tonight, they used to say, hold on to your crazy person, because if you let go, there may be the crazier comes back. And truly, this is what happened. You know? حُبَّالِكْ عَلَى مَجْنُونِكْ You know, brother Arabic. حُبَّالِكْ عَلَى مَجْنُونِكْ لَيْكْ أَجَلْمِنْ لَيْكْ أَيَلْمِنْ You know, watch. If that crazy person at least is giving you this much grief, hold on to him. Because if you push him away, a bigger crazy person will come to bother you. You know, SubhanAllah. As I said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ If you can. This is the nature of this world. This is the nature. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the Holy Quran, you will see. وَهْنٌ عَلَى وَهْنٌ Weakness upon weakness. From the moment of the getting in the mother's womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have put that person from a weakness to another weakness, from a weakness to another weakness. The poor mother goes through 9 months of pregnancy. After 9 months of pregnancy, then it is the delivery, which is one of the hardest pain in the world for the ladies. God bless them, inshallah ta'ala. After that is the issue of nursing, changing the diapers, watching the little baby. Don't fall down, don't stand up, don't go toward the heater, don't go, you know, subhanAllah. All it is all problems, one after another. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ أَيَحْسَبُ أَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ Now, this person, you know, just if we look around us, we see how weak we are. When we are a little young, we barely can walk, right? But then we get old. As soon as we became old, and of course it begins when? When the formation of personality begins. What is that? At a teenage stage. Ya subhanAllah. Suddenly we are at a teenage state and we think that the whole world is revolving around me and no one else. I'm the only one that the whole existence is supposed to be going around. I am the center of the world. I know it all. Everybody else is wrong. Ya subhanAllah. What does Allah subhanAllah? أَيَحْسَبْ أَن لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ No, what are we looking here? Of course, until it was time when Saddam's neck was in the... You know, even at that moment, if you read his life, if you look at him, he never believed. It seems like he never believed that someone will kill him or someone will bother him. He never believed that. Especially if we have a little bit of a strength, especially if we have a little bit of a nice voice, for instance, the singing, the, you know, whoever with a little money in our pocket. What does this man think? He thinks that none can overcome him? Ya subhanAllah. Brothers, we have to pay attention to these verses in the Quran. Let me truly talk about the Quran. Brothers, at the beginning we said that the Holy Quran is the cure for everything. It is not only the cure for everything. Not only cure. It is also the richness. It is also the knowledge. It is also the purification. It is also the lifting of you higher and higher and higher in the stages of the world until you reach. How do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
How do you think he had achieved such a high position? It is with the teachings of the Holy Quran. So therefore, if we hold on to the Holy Quran, we will achieve the same position. We go higher and higher and higher. You know, the hadith says that there are 70,000 curtains between a human being and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in which these are called ghafla. Little ghafla. Ghafla means unawareness. Means heedlessness. And each one of us is diseased with a certain amount of ghafla. Of heedlessness. Of unawareness. And the more we work on ourselves, the more we read the Holy Quran, the more we will get closer to Allah. Every time we lift one curtain, we see beyond that curtain. We get closer to Allah. We lift another curtain, we go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he penetrated all of these curtains. And he had reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one that we have discussed his life tonight, he had penetrated all of these curtains. And he had reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point that he himself said, somebody goes to Nahj al-Balagh, the most eloquent book. He said, لو رفع الغطاء لو رفع الغطاء مزددت يقينا. That is, do you know what that means? Wallahi, when I hear that, I shiver. Truly, I shiver. What does it mean? Means if and the impossible thing happens, and I have, astaghfirullah, seen Allah, my degree of certainty, yaqeen, will not be higher. This is how Amir al-Mu'mineen, with the spiritual eye, he is seeing our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لو رفع الغطاء مزدك يقينا. If the curtains were lifted, where people could step a lot spiritually, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my certainty will not reach, will not go higher. In other words, he had reached 100%. And the rest of us are in the, maybe inshallah, ya Rabbi, I'm a little bit above zero. Inshallah, ta'ala. أَيَحْسَبُ أَن لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ. What do we think? Who do we think we are? How high are we? يَقُولُ أَهْلَكْتُ مَا لَمْ لُبَدَ. You know, one of the statements. Now last week I have discussed, and inshallah, maybe if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us time, we will discuss this later. But today, let me concentrate on the moral, ethical aspect of the Holy Quran. You know, brother, let me tell you. Wallahi, if you read the Quran, the Holy Quran has many, 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 many layers and dimensions. Now, let me, dimensions, right? Dimensions. What does that mean? Let me tell you about one of my teachers, the teacher that taught us tafsir. He is still alive. He's Ibrahim al-Bahrani. Allah bless him. Allah bless him, inshallah ta'ala. He came and he told us this one. He said, I have learned tafsir under the grand teacher of Sayyidina Tabatabai, the one that made tafsir al-Mizan. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and all of us, inshallah ta'ala. He said, you know, these teachers are like businessmen. You know what I mean by businessmen? You know, a lot of us, these businessmen, they are always going to places to see where is a business that I make a better deal. These teachers, they are the same. They go, who is the best person?